Hey guys, welcome back to my podcast. I know it's been a few weeks since you've heard from me with the current situation going on right now. I have not had the right words to publicly talk about on this podcast. I have been posting some Instagrams and I think that kind of shows where I stand if you follow me on Instagram. But today I have Grace Jackson to shed some light on the current issues, and share some of her experiences and also talk about how she started a protest in Montgomery, Alabama. She's only 18 years old, and I just think that's an amazing, amazing job. She really got a community to come together and did a great job with that. So I'm going to let her talk more about the issues going on and her experiences to hopefully shed some light on this issue.
Hey, Grace.
Hey.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, cool. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So we're going to talk a little bit about your protest and some of your experiences. So how did you go about organizing this protest?
So I had the idea for the protest after a kid in our city died. It just kind of like it was already heavy with Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor and George Floyd, and then a kid from our city died, and it was like, dang, like everything feels so heavy. So then I just figured, like, I have to do something. Like, I want to do something. I want to stage a protest. So I texted some of my friends, and I asked them would they help me, or how would they feel if I held a protest. And they're like, whatever you need help with, like, we'll help you, and like, we're all down for it. So that's how it came about. And then we started it from there. Was just doing groundwork, making phone calls, going to spaces, having to try and get permits, and contacting the police department, contacting just everybody who we thought could help us. So like the NAACP came out, Poor People's Campaign came out, and a couple city councilmen and representatives were watching, and the mayor came out before we marched. So it just was a whole bunch of contacting wherever we could get a connection. We tried to figure it out.
Okay. Was the experience mostly positive? Like, were there any negative backlashes to this protest?
Not that I know of, just because I kind of only try to feed positivity into something when I'm doing it. So most of the feedback was positive. Of course, there were a couple people who were concerned with, like, is it going to be a riot? Are they going to try and tear up downtown Montgomery and all that type of stuff? But my mom was very adamant, like, if Grace wants to do something, she's going to do it. So even if I support her or not, she's going to have this protest. And it's just, at this point, it's just get on board and try and help as best as you can.
Okay, that's great. I'm really glad that there was not a lot of negative pushback to that. So can you talk a little bit about some of your experiences growing up in Montgomery, Alabama, or going to private school in Montgomery, Alabama? Mm-hmm.
So obviously Montgomery is known for its Confederate history, but it's also known for its civil rights history. And outside of school, that is what I'm very, very interested in, like the Dexter Avenue Memorial Baptist Church, the Rosa Parks Museum Memorial, the Legacy Museum. Just there's so much history downtown. One of my mentors works at EJI, and so she like let me come in and meet Brian Stevenson and just kind of have a tour of the office and go through a day with her. So that was nice. But from school, you know this, but Montgomery Academy was founded mm-hmm. as a segregation academy to keep segregation alive after Brown v. Board.
Right.
And it's very tough because obviously they're good people at MA, but they're also people who you can tell are very rooted in that history and they don't like to think any different. And that's caused problems for me because I've been at MA since kindergarten. And when I first joined MA, my mom putting me in MA in kindergarten, she had the idea that I'm going to grow up around these people and they're all going to, like, since we grow up together, we're all going to get along. And it just didn't work like that. Like, between microaggressions and, like, just hearing things and seeing things and seeing how the school operates sometimes, it's been very challenging. Like, once a kid, I wore a wig to school. And once a kid tried to cut my wig, or he was, like, quote-unquote joking around trying to cut my wig, and I turned around and I was like, what are you doing? And it was in the middle of art class. And he was like, whatever, like, it's just a joke, da da da. And I was like, that's not a joke. Like, you didn't do that to anybody else in here. You just did that to me because, you know, this hair isn't mine.
Right. That's awful. So, yeah, let's... I think it's important that you address, like, why private schools are even a thing in Montgomery, Alabama. And that's kind of what I was getting at when I was asking you about your experiences at a private school in Montgomery. Because, I mean, as we know, public schools, like, aren't doing well in Montgomery, which is also another issue in itself. But... yeah, I'm glad that you kind of addressed some of those issues growing up at a private school in Montgomery.
I think that it's important when we're talking about this to just realize that, because I've had this kind of debate with people from our school about raising the property tax in Montgomery, because obviously they don't want to do it because it means that everybody's going to have to pay more money and we don't go to these public schools, but at the same time, it's kind of what we owe them. Because when private schools were first made, they slashed the property tax because they were like, we don't care about the kids in those schools. So we don't want them to have those resources. We don't want them to have those experiences. We don't care if they love going to school every day. So I feel like us raising the property tax or just finding any way to fund these schools more, it's kind of our duty because our school was made so that they could be worse. And that's not okay.
Right. There's I've been doing some of my own research just because, I mean, I thought that I was more, I guess the word is, like, enlightened than I actually was. And so after doing a lot of research, after, like, this movement was more amplified, I've been learning a lot about redlining and like, it's just a systemic, like, racist issue. And I think it's important for people to realize that this is just, it's, like, institutionalized. It's been this way, and we can change it. There are things that we can do to make these public schools better and not just disregard them as a whole. There's a lot of people are like, oh, well, a lot of people that I know that went to private school are like, oh, well, why don't they just go to another school? And it's like, well,
not everybody has those thousands of dollars to spend on school every year.
Right. And also, like, your zone for your school. Like, and even if you can go to another school because it's failing, like, if you go to a failing public school, like, you're allowed to go to another public school. But that's gas and that's time and that's money. And if you're in a family with only one car, then that's not really in the cards for you. And the school bus isn't going to pick you up if you're not zoned for that school. So there's all of these systemic issues, and I think that this isn't a new issue. And even though some people might not have known all of this stuff until now. Like, it's not new. But it's time for change. So I think that's the biggest point here. This isn't a new concept, and it's not just important because it's trending. It's important because it's like, this is enough time has passed. Like, we are to the point where this cannot go on any longer. And I think that these issues that you raised in this protest and that have been trending are, like, maybe it will make exactly. change, I guess.
And I think that they're being highlighted now just because, well, this is my theory, that the cup is just running over now, because you have people that have been at their houses for months due to coronavirus, and so cabin fever is already a mm-hmm. thing. And then for Black people, you add police brutality, which police brutality has been happening for centuries, and then you have three back to back. It seems like it's almost weekly that this is happening. And then you have George Floyd mm-hmm. and that 9-minute video. It's just like the cup ran over. Like, obviously, people are not at their jobs. They have all the time in the world. They're like, well, yeah, why don't we go out and protest? And why don't we go out and just try and make as much change as possible? Like, now we have time. And that's why I say that coronavirus is a blessing in disguise, because it kind of made us focus on things that matter. Like, it highlighted everything that matters.
Yeah, I agree. I think that coronavirus has definitely had or definitely pushed these issues. Like, I think that people are waking up and realizing, and, like, I don't know, I think that this is finally gonna be the time that changes things. I don't think it's overnight, and I don't think it's necessarily going to be as fast as it needs to be, but I think that this is kind of the final straw. And I think that it's going to definitely make change, and I think you did a great job in Montgomery. Not only did you organize a protest, but it is in the capital of Alabama, and that's powerful and moving, and I think it's really gonna help things in the state of Alabama. So thank you for that, and thank you for being on this podcast. I think it really helped, or it's gonna help people really realize what's going on.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you. All right, bye. Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about privilege, but we're going to get more into that next week. We're going to talk about white privilege and, like, the reasons why it's uncomfortable to talk about some of these issues. I ordered a book called The Good White Racist. It's kind of talking about how you genuinely view yourself as a good person and you think, oh, I couldn't be racist, I'm such a good person. But then you start reading and learning more about some of the things that you do that are problematic and are racist. And I've had to catch myself too, like, saying things that I thought were the right things to say, or, you know, sometimes I didn't say anything when I knew I should have. But we're going to get more into detail with that next week. And we're also going to talk about intersectionality. It's a term that was actually coined by Kimberly Crenshaw in one of her TED Talks. She talks about it, but it's not a new concept. Sojourner Truth kind of put this word out, or put this definition out there, when she wrote a poem that said, "Ain't I a Woman?" It kind of goes into intersectionality issues, and we're going to kind of go into that more in detail next week, but let's talk a little bit about privilege today. So, a common thing that I've been hearing is, like,
oh, I'm not racist. I have a black friend. Oh, I'm not racist. I have a black family member. And I just want to say that that doesn't set the standard. And if you're not educating yourself, if you're not really looking into why you're not an ally or at least trying to be in this situation, then that calls for some self-improvement. Like, I can say, yeah, oh, we have different views, that's fine, but this isn't a political issue. This isn't an issue where you're on this side and I'm on this side. This is a human issue. This is an equality issue. And I'm having a hard time understanding the other side of it, because I think that this is a great time to unite, even if you are on a different side of the political spectrum than I am. I think that this is an issue we can all come together with. And I just think that there are some things that, me included, like I said earlier, that I have been doing that are wrong. And, you know, don't get defensive. A lot of white people, a lot of my family and my friends, like, it's such a, you're on defense. I get it, but this is uncomfortable. It's not going to be, change isn't comfortable. And I just think that we should all, if you are uncomfortable and you do feel attacked, maybe you should look into why. And I've been like, oh, I'm not racist. But then I look into some of the things that I've done and I'm like, oh, that's wrong. So I've ordered some books from Amazon. The ones that I originally wanted are out of stock, but there are still some really good ones out there. I know it's summer and I know some of you are laying out and it's a great time to read. So yeah, I ordered The Good White Racist. I'm waiting for it to come in. I feel like it's going to be really helpful, especially in structuring this podcast for next week. I think I'll have time to read it before my next podcast. So yeah, we're going to look into some of these details on why it's uncomfortable, what makes you privileged. Another common thing that I've been hearing are, oh, I'm not privileged. Like, I have obstacles in my life too. Well, yeah, we all have obstacles, but we're privileged because we're white. We come out of the womb privileged. We have advantages that black people don't, and that's worth acknowledging. And I just think that we can all do better. So we're going to get into some of those issues next week. But today I wanted you all to listen to Grace Jackson and some of her viewpoints and how she started a protest, because being so young, or just anyone in general, that's amazing. And it's especially amazing because she's so young and really knows what she's talking about and knows what she's doing. So thank you all for listening. I hope you all tune in next week for some uncomfortable topics. Thanks.